Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and in this series, we look at various aspects covering the subject of spirituality. We ask you to look at the core of spirituality. We look at things like philosophical and spiritual integrity. We also ask you to honestly ask yourself what your relationship with God is, whether you are satisfied with your relationship with the Supreme Soul, what role He plays in your life, if any, and whether you are happy with having God's presence in your life. We also ask you to look at aspects such as whether there's a balance between your inner and your outer world. And we particularly focus on how you, as a human being, can find answers within spirituality to solve problems. The subject we are looking at today is acceptance. Sister Denise, who is with us in the studio, has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for over 4 decades. Sister Denise, very warm welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. Acceptance of what?
Many things. Things that you don't have any control over, accept. Things that you do have control over, but you have to act. There's something called the Serenity Prayer. Have you heard about that? And that is really something that is asking an individual to distinguish between the things that they can control and the things that they can't. And there are many things in our lives that are beyond our control, and so we have to accept. I think the thing that is the most difficult for people to accept is death, loss, the end of a relationship, the end of a job if you get fired, rejection. There are many things that you find hard to accept because you may say it's not right. And whenever you feel something's not right, you don't want to accept it. So then a person has to go through a few processes before they finally get to accept. So sometimes you just have to wait until that point arrives, but sooner or later there is no alternative. You have to accept. So there's a lot of merit in accepting quicker or sooner. And the other thing that you have to accept is that you can't always have everything the way you want it. I think it's good to try for the best in a perfect world, but on the other side, you have to work with what you've got. There are people that you have in your team, and they may not be ideal, but if you can accept them and work with them, then you find that everything does eventually work out. So you have to have patience in order to arrive at acceptance. But I think sometimes people make a mistake. They accept things they don't have to accept. And that would be because of being afraid to speak up. So we have to discriminate when acceptance is correct, suitable, appropriate, and when we shouldn't accept.
Is it Denise, is it ever okay to want to change another human being? The example that comes to mind is if you have a sibling who is hell-bent on the path of self-destruction, who is an alcoholic, and you can see that he's about to, harm himself or somebody else in an irreversible fashion. So you want to help, whether it's by booking him into a rehab center or whatever. Is it ever okay to try and change someone if it's with the right and pure intention, with the aim of improving the quality of their life? Or do you just accept that he is an alcoholic and leave him to his own devices?
I think neither of those is going to work. Helping somebody or trying to change somebody is not a good idea. What is a good idea is to confront. And there are ways where confronting is more successful than others. And it's quite a skill to bring a person face to face with what their problem is so that they have no choice but to surrender and say, okay, I will do the program or I will do what you have to do. If you book the person into the rehab center, they'll book themselves right out, you know. Trying to help in that way is completely counterproductive, and there's a word for it, and that's called enabling. And that's another disease connected with alcoholism and other forms of addiction. So when a person's behavior is unacceptable, then it is not appropriate to just sit down and accept it. You have to create boundaries. And you have to very often learn about it, because the reason why so many unacceptable things take place is because the way our society is set up, which provokes unacceptable things happening, and which, you know, the custom is to react in a way that doesn't help, either by doing nothing or by doing the wrong thing. So acceptance has to come at the end of doing quite a lot of procedures when you're dealing with a situation like an addiction, or someone has an incurable disease, or something that eventually you have to accept, and that there's no possibility, no point in fighting against, you know. So it's really the discrimination that's going to help you there.
Is it, Denise, on a daily, monthly, annual basis, we are faced with things that are difficult and sometimes almost impossible to accept, like the death of a child, the end of a marriage. So change in one's own life circumstance that you weren't anticipating, that happened suddenly. How do you and where do you find the resources to help you deal with something that's shock and trauma and painful even to think about?
In these situations, acceptance tends to be the last of a series of things that you have to go through. And what generally happens when something unacceptable occurs is you're angry about it. And so you have to go through the anger stage. Then comes the bargaining stage. Then there is a denial stage. Maybe even the denial comes before the anger stage. But, you know, normally people go through these stages and finally they get to the point of acceptance. Sometimes it takes a very long time. If you're fortunate, if you are, you know, someone who's well on the way in your spiritual practice, you'll be able to arrive at acceptance much quicker than other people. So in that respect, you're ahead.
Mm. Okay.
Because you use spiritual knowledge. You know, for example, you took the example of death of a child. A spiritual person will say, okay, that child was given by God. So then God would say, okay, well, then I can take that child, because it's not your child, it's my child. So the non-acceptability of the death of a child is a lot of time because of the extent of the attachment. I see. So if a person has worked on their attachments, they're able to accept much more quickly. because they'll apply the knowledge. You know, maybe your feelings are really strong, but you'll mitigate those feelings by saying, well, you know, you can never be in possession of a person. You know, a person has their life course, they have their karma. You know, there are many things that you can tell yourself to offset the emotions that are provoked by your attachments.
Sister Denise, coming back to what one should accept and what one should not accept, I think that is where most of us, when we are standing at that T junction in our lives and you do not know whether to turn left or to turn right, take us through the steps that a spiritually aware person goes through up here to know which category those fall into, and how do you go about making that decision?
Because it's
quite momentous, and it has accepting or not accepting, accepting or intervening. We currently call them interventions. I think it's become quite popular. Interventions, etc. They're both of them are very drastic forms of action or an inaction. Okay. So my question is, how does one go about the process of knowing what do I need to just let go of, and what do I have to put my hands into and redesign?
I don't think an intervention is a drastic form of action. I think it's a very sensible form of action. And the quicker you become ready for an intervention in a situation which is unacceptable, the better it is. But very often a person will try to avoid that because they try and handle it themselves. And this is usually in a situation where there's abuse. And our conventional morality tells people that they should tolerate it. Sometimes it'll be denied, it'll be said, well, that's not really abuse. It has to reach a much worse condition before we can call it abuse. So there's this changing position of the needle between okay and not okay. Before a person will say or have it validated for them that, yeah, no, this behavior is unacceptable. And then you have to be careful about the attachments, because what the problem is, and this is, you know, especially you find this in situations of domestic violence, you know, the usual situation is the husband is ill-treating the wife, and the society says, well, you know, marriages are never so easy, so you have to expect a little bit of disturbance, you see, and so other people will minimize it. Then you might minimize it to yourself. Then you might have to hide some injuries, or you might have to look good. So it starts to become a game of lies and hiding and covering up and things like that. And, you know, before it gets to that point, it's unacceptable. Any point thereafter is unacceptable. And sometimes people are so caught up in the under the influence of other people who tell them to just endure it for the sake of reputation, for the sake of we all have to look good, you know. And so people get victimized by the wider society in abusive situations. And this is why I think a lot of education is needed, and why a program such as this can be helpful for a person to have the validation that, no, it's not acceptable. You have to now take action. Another problem for taking action is very often the victim of an abusive situation is further victimized by the agencies that are supposed to be protecting that victim. And that gives them a disincentive to take advantage of protective measures that are in place or supposed to be in place. To work through something with the help of whatever is needed, you know, a mediator, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, whatever, if you can work through something, there you also reach a point where there has to be a moment of acceptance, that you have to accept that, okay, you have agreed to this, and you know, these are the circumstances that you have to deal with on a regular basis, and if you are not going to do that, then you have to accept a different thing, because whatever happens, there's going to be something that you're going to have to accept. Maybe you have to accept less money, maybe you have to accept separation, maybe you have to accept not spending time with your children, maybe you have to accept losing half of your income to the other part, but there's going to be acceptance in there somewhere.
Mr. Denise, as you speak, what comes to mind is that one's reservoir of internal virtues has to be quite in order. In other words, you have to have all your ducks in a row before you can know which way to go, to accept or not accept, and which part to accept and which part to reject. What are your, what do you draw on the inside in order to come to this decision? Thinking of the virtues, what is obvious as you were speaking is that somebody who knows how to think properly and a good decision maker has to have good self-respect. That's the obvious thing that comes to my mind. What else comes to your mind?
Well, I think a person has to be very clear about who they are, which is the same thing really as self-respect. Now, a person who doesn't have self-respect will never get it quite right. There's going to be a necessity to educate yourself. If you can find people who are in similar situations, that's very advantageous, because if you're on your own and in isolation, you can't really easily get the right perspective, and you can be sort of coerced into accepting something that's unacceptable, and you make yourself feel like you're weak because it's so difficult to accept it, whereas in fact you should be not accepting and doing something very different. So I think that, you know, with the internet, with the TV and all of this, there are resources that people have access to now that they didn't have before, so they're in a better position. But sometimes the prevailing social attitudes are so overpowering and so forceful that a person finds themselves stuck in an unacceptable situation. And this is one of the tragedies of our current state of society. You know, there's so many people who say it's all right, but it's not all right. So there need to be more and more people saying this is not okay, challenging it and saying, no, we need to really rethink our social attitudes, because they are in a lot of cases quite unacceptable.
Mr. Denise, acceptance is an aspect of the intellect, isn't it?
Yes, because it's a conclusion that you draw, having calculated, you know, the pros and cons of a situation.
Okay. Now, the intellect is just one part of human functioning. What do you do with your feelings once you made a decision? Because the rest of you has to catch up to that. There's a intellectual component to your decision, but there may be a physical component. In other words, one has to make some physical changes depending on the situation. One has to renegotiate relationships, make financial changes, but also the feelings. What do you do with your feelings?
When you have arrived at an intellectual conclusion and you know it's right, but there is attachment. It's the attachment, which is a vice, that produces the feelings that sabotage the decision of the intellect. And this is what makes you really go against your conscience, because your conscience and your intellect lined up, but your attachment says, oh, but I can't do that. Why you can't do that? Well, because of my feelings. What are your feelings? Vices. Hmm. You see? But you call them feelings, you don't call them vices. So then it means you have to really be pretty clear about what you mean when you're talking about feelings as a positive thing and what you mean when you're calling feelings as a negative thing. So what I do is I say, okay, there's finer feelings, which are virtuous, and then there are negative emotions, which are vices.
I'm going to interject there. What is the difference between feelings and emotions?
Depending on how you use it, practically nothing.
Okay, continue.
But because people are working with this big spectrum all the way from something very bad to something very good and lumping it all in the same category, it becomes indiscriminate. And so we need to be discriminating and say, these feelings over here, they are negative emotions, they are vices, whereas these feelings over here, they are coming from virtues, they are coming from your powers. And so if you call all of it feelings, it's not a good idea because it's indiscriminate. So better to say, okay, these people over here, they're negative emotions, and these ones over here, I say people, but feelings, they're, higher purpose, or you have to really use words where these things are distinguished from each other and not lumped together in the same category.
Sister Denise, how do you bring God into your decision-making processes in order for you to gain the power and the wisdom to know what to accept and what to change?
Well,
I assume he does assist. And tell us how.
One thing that is associated with God is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God is also known as Shrimat. So Shrimat is a word from the Sanskrit, which means the pure directives, the highest instructions. And so what God will do is provide humanity with the instructions. And what humans will do is create an alternative set of instructions. And there is a conflict between, the Word of God and the words of man. And because God is so subtle, God will simply say, well, these are the laws that govern human behavior, take it or leave it. Whereas the people of the word of the world tend to impose their opinions, which are imposed because it suits their convenience or whatever, it maintains the status quo. And so very often these higher directives that originate in God are pushed under the carpet, disregarded, forgotten, erased, whatever it is, because they don't suit the convenience of those who are in power in any community.
Hmm.
And this is where you get problems.
Mr. Denise, in one's decision-making capabilities, ego, I think, tends to rear its ugly head. How do you know that your decisions and what to accept and what's not is reality-based and not ego-based? Because it permeates everything, doesn't it? Ego.
It does. And because you use the word reality-based, that's really a clue. Because if it's reality-based, it's not false. And ego is very often defined as false ego. You're adopting a position which is not tenable. that you can't sustain or that you can't substantiate. And so you try to push your position onto others rather than, you know, argue for it or, you know, represent it in a proper way. You see, this is where the ego becomes quite imposing, a little bit violent, maybe threatening, maybe causing others not to be able to challenge them because of some threat.
Okay, accept. One has to know what to accept and what not to accept. Thank you. We have come to the end of today's show. So unfortunately, we don't have the time to ask you any further questions. But I think you've answered all that the audience had in mind regarding this subject. So what to accept and what not to accept is a very deep subject, because we all reach crossroads in our lives at some point in time where we have to know which way to go, left or right. Some situations call upon us to act, other situations call upon us not to do anything, and we need to be very careful and consider all the factors before deciding which way to go. So Sister Denise has shared how she uses her spiritual understanding to know which way to go, what to accept and what not to accept. If you are facing such a conundrum in your life, I hope today's episode has been of some interest and some use to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and good day.